listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Morning, gang. How are we doing? Hey, last part of our series, My Unforgettable Life, and I can't believe that it's already the last message in the series. These things just go by so quickly. If you did get one of those weeklies, go ahead and pull out that little note section and trek with us. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. This particular series is part of a progression that we love to take people through every single month here at New Chapel, actually. And we have this vision statement, this dynamic thing that we put out, but we had a lot of questions about it. We say that we're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. And I think you can extrapolate a lot from that, but what does that really mean? And so what we said was there's a four-step process that God is trying to take every single person on. And the first one is this: we want you to know God, like really know Him beyond religion, right, ritual. We want you to have an intimate relationship with Him. Amen, somebody? And when that happens, what happens is your sins are forgiven and you gain an eternity in heaven. But eternal life doesn't start when you die. We learned that the hard way by holding people under when we baptized them early on at the church I used to go to. And yikes. But what we learned was that God has more for you here and today. And the second step in the process is that we want you to find freedom. Like, because we all got stuff. We all got things that, a little bit of baggage, stuff from the past that's holding you back from winning. We all know what that stuff is in the room, and we need to deal with it. The best way to do that, we found, is relationally. So that's why we have small groups, and we're a relational church. I mean, you're an insider day one here at New Chapel, and we do that on purpose. We want you to find the freedom that we received. Well, the third step is this, and the third step's very important, because if we don't progress on, Christianity's all about you, and it's not. The third step is we want you to discover purpose, that God has a purpose for you. Discover it. Don't manufacture it. Like, find out why you're here on earth. Two great days in every man's life: the day he was born, the day that he finds out why. We want you to find out why. We want you to discover the purpose that God has for you. And then purposeful people are going to do the fourth step. And that's what the series is all about. And that is to make a difference. This is a make a difference series. We want to make a difference. Throughout the whole year, we talk about the issues that pertain to all of our lives, your marriage and career and finances. All of those things give you practical things out of God's word. But at some point, we've got to pivot, and go over and talk about making a difference in our own world. And so that's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy. Paul writes to Pastor Timothy, a young guy, and he says this: command those who are rich in this present world. Rich, by the way, means having enough for every good work. Means if you got a little bit more, you could share it, you're rich. If you're making between $45,000 and $46,000, you are in the top 1% of earners in the world. You're rich. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. We've learned that, yeah? But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Pause, look at me for a second. I came from a whole world that made you feel bad about any blessing that you had. Like, if you had it, you probably should have got rid of it as soon as you could. It's hot potato, get it out of your hand. No, that God doesn't say that. You can enjoy it. We're not saying that you can't enjoy this existence. It just can't be all about this existence. Wow. It says, command them to do good, to be rich, but be rich in good deeds. Do something about it. To be generous and willing to share. And in this way, you're going to lay up treasure for yourself as a firm foundation, not like the economy ebbs and flows. You're going to have a firm foundation for the coming age that you can take hold of the life. And check how he says it: that's truly life. In other words, if you want to live an unforgettable life, if you want to live a life that really counts in this world, you're a person that lives a generous life. Oh, Pastor Joe, listen, I don't make a lot of money. Be generous with what you have. Be generous with your smile. Be generous with your countenance. Be generous with, like, sharing your lunch with somebody. You can be a generous person. When you do, when you get outside of you, that's when you're really going to make a difference in this world. And what's interesting about this passage of Scripture is that Paul is writing to Pastor Timothy, and he's trying to really show him what this generous life is all about. But then he calls it the true life, the life that's truly life. And he says this: you'll store up yourself treasures as a firm foundation in heaven. Well, what is he doing? He's using a certain motivator. And this motivator is found in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, Genesis all the way through Revelation. And the motivation is this, write it down, it's heaven. It's heaven. The motivation for us living an unforgettable life, a generous life, is because eternity exists, somebody. There's something beyond what we're seeing right now. The vast majority of your life, by the way, isn't this life. It isn't this world. It's not going to be lived in that way. And so what we want to talk about is leveraging your life, your Christianity, your generosity towards making a real difference in this world. And what I've seen, however, is that heaven has really gotten a bad rap. People don't know what it really is. You're picturing like Looney Tunes when Wile E. Coyote gets hit by something and he goes up, and it's like you're riding the Badger, right, in the middle of Lake Michigan. It's fog all around. You think that's heaven, and there's going to be fat little naked babies everywhere, and they're going to be playing harps. That's hell, okay? If you're wondering, like, that smoke is from fire, okay? And harp, that's not, that heaven is awesome. Think about it for a second. Which is more real? Which is more tangible? This world or the world that created this world? Heaven is so much greater. The Bible talks about residence and it talks about trees and it talks about streets and it talks about animals and places and fields and mountains. And heaven's awesome. Heaven's got a bad rap. And I think that if we were to ask many of the people, you know, in the room, it's maybe even, I don't go there. I don't want to go to heaven. And the reason is because we think of it as just this ambiguous thing. But the reality is there is an eternity and an eternal reward that God has for every single one of us. Every once in a while, I have, I would say, the privilege of ministering to people when they lose a loved one. And it's a big responsibility. You feel the pressure of it. I remember doing my first funeral and trying everything I could to not cry, because I'd attend funerals for random people and they would show like a video or I'd see some pictures and I'd start losing it. And family members are trying to console me, you know, because I was kind of like, I'm not going to do this thing, you know. I'm kind of a tough guy, you know, whatever. But like, I get around people that are hurting, I hurt, you know. And so I get the opportunity to minister to people that are going through it, this year especially, a lot of them. And one thing that I tell them is this. If your loved one could come back here, they wouldn't. They wouldn't do it. Why? It's so awesome up there. And if you think about eternity and what eternity, I mean, it's forever. I mean, it's going to keep on going. Like, that's going to feel like they were just gone for a weekend in the grand scope of things. I mean, you're not going to miss them when you look at it with eternal eyes. But we think that it's all over. And it's really perpetuated this feeling in society and culture that you got to live for today. And I get it. Seize the day. That's all good stuff. Let's work hard. But there's people that almost justify reckless behavior. I've used this hashtag. Maybe you have. And that is this. It is YOLO. You know what I'm talking about? YOLO. You only live once. I sense not many of you have. Okay, it was popularized by Count Dracula, and it's all about hey, seize it. People do crazy stuff, by the way, in the name of YOLO, you know. And as I'm watching this, I'm just thinking, like, is that really the life that we're supposed to live? Like, we need to pack it all in, you know, to this life, to this existence. And the reality is, we need to become aware that this isn't it. And so, like I said earlier in the service, I'm a very trendy guy. Things catch on. And me with my Shaw collar, dad sweater, and glasses. Okay, but I'm going to have a brand new hashtag. I believe it's going to catch on today here, starting a new chapel. YOLT! Hashtag YOLT! You're welcome, somebody. You need to tweet that immediately. You only live twice! And it's funny, I don't care who you are. I come from the North Country. We didn't get out that often. And it's popularized by me, by the way. And you should tweet that, because why? This isn't all that there is. There's something beyond this. There's a life beyond what we're living today. We live beyond it. And so when I'm preaching messages about marriage or career or finances, that's all great. But my greatest responsibility is your pastor's to prepare you for eternity. That's the big one. That's the thing I want to show you today. But here's what I sense. In fact, I know this. You already know that. You already know eternity. Why? Ecclesiastes puts it this way. It's in your heart. It's already part of you. If you're a hardened person, you're a hardened atheist, you don't believe in God, you put up your hands and say, no. At the same time, when I get to the part of the service where I'm talking to people about their faith and eternity, there's something in you that has a question of whether or not there's an afterlife. Maybe you completely disagree with this vein. That's fine. There's something in you that, and you don't know. How can you? And the fact of the matter is eternity is in every person's heart. It's living within you. And when it comes to living a generous life and leveraging it to really make a difference, we have to think about what we're doing. Is it making an eternal impact? The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. He says, man is destined to die once. Aren't y'all glad you came to New Chapel? Yikes. Mankind is what it's talking about, all of us. Mankind is destined to die once. But then after that, there's a judgment. There's a judgment. I want to talk about that for just a second. There's actually two judgments. And for those of us that are Christians, we really get to enjoy that process. Judgment is really taken on a bad connotation in our society. It means to condemn, like we just, you know, to judge. But this is really more of like a weighing out of things. And so the first judgment, by the way, is the great white throne judgment. And this is really going to pose the question to you, what did you do with Jesus? He did things that you couldn't do. And he did it for you as kind of access into heaven, into his world. And what did you do with Jesus? And your response to Jesus really determines whether you're going to have an eternity in pleasure in heaven or face a Christless hell. And so that's the great white throne. It's nothing you can earn. You can't be good to do it. There's a lot of people that are probably, when you get up there, be like, that guy's a dirtbag. He was my neighbor. I know he shouldn't have made the cut. You know, thank God you're not God. Because the qualification isn't being good, it's being righteous. And there's a difference. There's a difference. Jesus gives you his righteousness. Well, I'm just a sinner. Well, you're not going to heaven then, because there's no sinners in heaven. There's only righteous people. When you accept Jesus Christ, it's not that you don't sin anymore, but Paul makes it so clear in the book of Romans that sin's in your flesh. And what are you saying? When you go to that great white throne, don't go up there saying that you prophesied in his name and cast out devils and the full list of everything cool that you did. Just be like, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. I'm here because of him, okay? So that's the great white throne. Are we trekking? The second one is the judgment seat of Christ. And boy, that sounds severe, but it doesn't have to be. It's actually not. Here's what it is. The first one determines whether you're going to heaven or hell. The second one is how well you're going to live in heaven. Because what Jesus does is he weighs out all of your works, all the things that you've done in this world. Okay, you got the Christian life, right? What did you do with it here on earth? What did you do? 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us, and us, let me qualify that, this was written to a church, it's talking about Christians, so that we Christians may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And again, this is not salvation, this is the Christian who's going there, and God is weighing out, like, how did you live? How did this whole thing come together? Were you able to really make a difference? How did you do it? What did you do with Jesus was already settled? Now, what did you do with this Christian life? Jesus puts it this way in Matthew, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward. I want you to remember that word, reward. It's the Greek word epididymi. He will reward each person according to what they've done. So Paul says that when Jesus comes, he's gonna come with basically rewarding deeds. And Jesus says very clearly, when I come, I'm gonna reward these deeds that have been done in the body. And this concept of epidemini, which is basically this, he's gonna pay you back. This concept is massive. And I know some of you in the room, you've been saved for a while, you're like, listen, I don't need that, Lord. I'm just so happy to be in heaven. To which Jesus is going to say something like, well, it's my show, and I'm going to do what I want. But he wants to reward you. He wants to reward the things that you've done, and he wants you to live a life that's rewarding. Does that make any sense? Selah. Like, that's very profound. He wants you to live a life in such a way that when you have an encounter with him, an interaction with him, it's significant. And that should really encourage us in the room because, I mean, to the people that set up all the parking lot stuff and to the people that poured your coffee or to the people that are listening to me right now in nursery and are taking care of your kids or Mr. Cameraman back there, everybody, listen to me. Jesus is watching and he's going to reward you for the awesome things that you are doing in this life. Can somebody say amen? That's the heart of the Father, that he wants to take care of us. And why? Jesus is bringing out that eternity is the main motivation for living a generous life. Like, I know what you did with Jesus, now what did you do with this life? And it's an important concept, so important, by the way, that it was echoed all through the Bible, but it's actually on the last page of your Bible, the last words that Jesus is saying to all of us. The Bible's what he's trying to get across to us, y'all. And so in the last chapter, in the last page, last words that he's saying, I don't know about you, but last words are very, very important. This is what he says in Revelation 22. Look, I'm coming quickly. And by the way, he says it that way because it's just going to be quicker than you think. I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to his work. I love this scripture. Why? Because, funny story about that. My sister-in-law, JJ, found out that my son, Aurelio, was into pirates. In particular, some very irresponsible person, his dad, let him watch the movie Hook, okay? And so he is straight up Captain Hook. He is a pirate, okay? And he'll look at him, I'm a bad pirate. And you ask him what he does, and he's like feeding everybody, you know? So, but he's a bad pirate, and it's his birthday time. And his aunt, my sister-in-law, JJ, bought him one of those like scope things, but it wasn't made of plastic. It's brass with leather and engraving and comes in a case. This is like some of the keepsakes that they sell nerds at the mall, you know? And so she bought this. She couldn't wait. She's showing everybody. Can I give it to him early? And by the way, that's the heart of your God. Can I give it to him now? I just want. So what happens? He's not even going to wait till you get to heaven. He's going to be straight up in the air with you. Hey, I brought you stuff, everybody. Like the Lord's going to come. And what is he doing? He's bringing a reward. He's watching what you're doing. He sees you when no one else sees you. He knows the depths of your heart. And God is behind you, and he wants to reward you for the great things that you're doing. And I got to tell you something. Listen. I know that this is a little heavy because we're talking about eternity. But as a pastor, it's my job to let you know that you're going to have an interaction with Jesus. And I want to make it as good as it possibly can be. I don't want you to look back at regret, the things you could have done. There's some people, they try to exceed the call of God. Don't do that. Don't try to do that. I've wore myself out in my life trying to exceed what God had called me to do. I've learned hard lessons with that. I'm going to tell you something. You can be right on par with them. It's not hard as yoke is easy as burdens lie. You can trek with them. A couple concepts about that. And I'm going to give some practical things at the end of the message. First concept I want to share with you is this. I'm just passing through. Write that down. I'm just passing through. We need to have some eternity principles, some eternity principles. You need to realize something about your life, and that is that you are just passing through. You're a visitor here. You're an alien in a foreign land. If you're going through something difficult today, I'm going to be just as bold with you as I'm with everybody else. You are just passing through. The issue that you think is so monumental, so heavy on your life, you are just passing through this. This too will pass. You have to realize that. Keep that perspective in your life. Otherwise, here's what's going to happen. You're going to revel in the things that this world can provide you, and you're going to start to settle. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with enjoying your life. We read that. You should have a couple toys if you can afford them. Don't finance them. That's my opinion. Praise the Lord. But if you got a little jet ski action, number one, I want to give you my phone number. But number two, let's enjoy them, you know. If you got a motorcycle, you got some toys, some hobby, that's all awesome. You can enjoy all of those things, but don't let those things deceive you into thinking that this world is all that there is. Don't settle. Don't just occupy your own life. Don't put everything about this life into this life. Does that make any sense? You want to leverage this life for greater things. The Bible has some, and listen, I'm going to tell you, this is harsh language, but I can prove to you I didn't write this. Some harsh words about this, but I think it's really good for us. Philippians 3 says this, Paul writes, "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears," this is hard for him to even convey, "many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach." What does that mean? Their God is their stomach. Nobody's worshiping their stomach. Oh, yes, they do. Y'all been at Mr. Burger around noon? You see all kinds of people, young, old, everybody. It looks like heaven, except they're all sinning with their eating, you know. And we can make our God our stomach. But what is it really saying? They're in the here and now. It's all about the pleasure of now. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Well, what does that mean? They don't care that they're messing up. They don't care that they're sinning. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter. Paul's saying you're an enemy of the cross. You just live in. You're a Christian atheist. Your faith doesn't line up with your actions. And he's saying this to these guys, and he's saying, guys, look, you're an enemy of the cross. The glory is in their shame. They settled, didn't they? Wow. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship, Paul writes, is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to remind ourselves that we're just passing through, that this is not all that there is. We can't be so consumed with the pleasure of today and forget that our citizenship is not in this world. It doesn't belong here. And God loves Christians that have that perspective. Why? Because then we can really do something in this world. I'm going to tell you another thing. If you're going through a season of your life where things are relatively good, it actually can be a real roadblock for you because it can be so deceiving. You can actually think that this world is all that there is. You're just passing through. Second thing, write it down. My time on earth is short. That's a good word, Pastor Joe. But seriously, I mean, like, it is. Your life here, your existence here is short. And there's so many scriptures that can remind you of this, but I'm going to tell you something, that it's shorter than you could even imagine. It can feel long. And I know some of you in the room, you've lost someone. You've lost a loved one in the last year. And life can begin to feel long, but I'm going to tell you something, again, like in proportion to eternity, it's just going to be a moment. You will go to them. You will have resolution again. And God through the situation, has given you a valuable perspective that we all need to have. James puts it this way in James 4. What is your life? James says, it's a mist. It's here for a little while, appears for just a minute, and then it vanishes. The Bible says tomorrow's promised to no man. And this life is, if you live a robust, long life, 90, 100 years old, I mean, it's just a mist. I've come just to remind you today that that's why every day is so important. Perspective on your life is so important. If you believe that you have a lot of a certain thing, whether it's time or anything else, you will squander it. But if you realize, if you have a perspective that you have a limited resource, you will weigh how you spend it so carefully. And I got to tell you, New Chapel, we got to do that. We got to remember that our life is a gift. Moses wrote it this way in the book of Psalms, teach us to number our days. I need an accountant, but like I need somebody to like help me account for the days of my life and recognize how few that they are. Help us to spend them as we should, God. And that's the prayer of our heart. Why? Time is short. Life is fleeting. It goes by so much quicker than you think. And what's funny is this, like I'm 32, right? Lofty old age of 32, but I realized that the younger me, the early 20s, it was all I was thinking about was building, building, building. We got to create, start, do. And now I'm thinking like, okay, we need to learn how to spin that play and work on legacy at the same time. Because listen, my life's short. My life's short. Well, Pastor Joe, you're only 32. Listen to me. Your life is short. Your life is short. You might be in a vein of building right now, but you're going to wish that you would have had a little bit more legacy on your mind at some point. Third concept, write this down. I should make the most of every opportunity. I should make the most. Make the most out of every opportunity. Life is a test. Like your life is being weighed out in such a way that you have certain opportunities that they appear for just a moment and then they go away. I remember exactly where I was on 9/11, maybe you can say the same thing. I remember precisely. Maybe you're so young, you weren't even born yet. I met several people they serve with you. They weren't even born. Let that sink in. But that's a lot. But I like to watch documentaries about it. One in particular, maybe you've watched it, is one that details the phone calls that were made on that day. And these weren't just like phone calls between random people. There were the people in the towers. There were the people on the plane, and they were calling to their loved ones. And in some in particular, you can sense like they might have left the house screaming that day because somebody didn't take the trash out or whatever it is. But like, you want to talk about something that cuts the fog is the fact that you realize you've missed your opportunities and you need to say what you need to say now. And you'll listen to them and they're, I love you. And our life was good. And me, I can't even talk about it too long, otherwise I'm going to get misty. But they're reciting the things that they wish that they would have said. Don't y'all wish that sometimes when you've gone too far in anger, like somehow that little bug would bite you and you'd realize, shut up. This is going to follow you. You know, tell them how much you love them, how much you care about them, and how much this moment, because it's an opportunity. Kai and I know someone very close to us. And we were in the room when he was yelling and screaming and wishing that this person would just die, saying that they hated him. And that person died. And it haunts him. It really haunts him. Why? He lost the opportunity. He wishes he could say what he was supposed to say. He wishes he could do what he was called to do. And can I just tell you guys, that's what we're bringing out in this message today, is that someday you'll thank me on the other side of eternity, because I'm just reminding you, you're not going to have an opportunity to change those things there. The only place that it counts is here. The goodness, the generosity, the love that you show, it counts here today. Say the things that you want to say. Like live the life that you're called to live. Do the stuff that God puts on your heart to do, somebody. Amen. That's a calling that we have, and Ephesians puts it very plainly. It says, be very careful then how you live. Be careful. Not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity. Why? The days are evil. Days are evil. Days. What does that mean? Anybody else notice that like years go really quick, but days seem long? Namely like Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, right? But days can feel like eons, wherein, like, I'm surprised that it's December again. Does that make sense? What is this saying? The days are evil. It's deceiving. It's going by so much faster than you realize. Your life is passing so much quicker, and it's a consistent rate. You're just getting kind of wise to the act, so you got to be careful how you live. And it says, not as the fools, but as the wise. What does that mean? You could be fooled. People are fooled into thinking that you have some unlimited quantity of life on here on earth, and you do not. You do not. So what do we need to do? It's going to take some wisdom to leverage these moments. What does it say? Redeeming the time. The word time there is kairos, and it's not talking about time that goes around the clock. It's like a moment. It's like it's there for a minute, and then it's done. It's an opportunity. Here it is. It's done. Last night, I had finished writing my message, and I came home, and Kai made dinner, and we put the boys in the bath, and they got out and got inside their jammies, and they got their, thank God for melatonin gummies, hala habasha. Anyway, but they start running out, and they see Dad on the couch, right? So they come up to me, and what do they want me to do? They're kind of provoking me because they want to get into a little fight, right? They want to tickle, and so we're all just tickling and laughing and giggling, and I got a three-year-old and a one-year-old. It's a riot, and I can see them. They're both looking at me, and it hit me in my mind. Come on, Bev, you have moments like this, and then they're gone. Some of you in the room have adult children, and you remember that was last night that you were holding your little kids, and everybody was laughing and tickling. Go ahead and try to do a tickle fight with your 35-year-old. I mean, it's not nearly as fun. It's not fun at all, actually, but you have these moments. You know, the amazing thing is this, is that you're going to stand before God for those moments. And I just think it can be awesome. I think it can be a great interaction, but I'm going to stand before God for all of this. I'm going to stand before God for my marriage and my kids, and I just want to have a really good report. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians. On the judgment day, he says, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. He says, the fire will show if a person's work has any value. Remember that word, because he's talking about an eternal value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. What is this talking about? When you get into heaven, you're going to stand before God, but the way that you're going to be able to stand before God is because you are in Christ. You are in Jesus. Think of it like Shark Week, okay? You are inside a big metal cage, but the difference is you're not in water. See, people think that judgment from God is an active thing. It is not an active thing. It is a passive thing. He is a holy God. Therefore, sin is just judged in his presence. So in other words, if you were just to walk in there being Joe Schmo before you were saved, that fire would blow you away. But when you are in Christ, it's like you're in a big metal cage and that's absorbing all of the fire and you can stand. Well, the same thing is true with your works, with the things that you do. The Bible says that some of the stuff that we do is like wood, hay, and stubble. The Bible says other things that we do are like gold. When we get up to heaven, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that that fire is going to hit and it will show. It will show what has value. But can I put it this way? If we try to just go out into the wild and do good, it's not good enough. You need to do good in Jesus' name. Why? Because that's going to withstand the fire. You just being a good doobie isn't doing anything for anybody, you know? And please don't be the morality police going around here telling everybody what the Holy Ghost has to say. Like, just relax. If you're going to help people in Jesus' name, that has value. Let me be very frank, and I kind of run a risk saying this in this season, but I'm going to say it anyway because I got a mic. And that is this. We can feed all the kids in the world, but if they all go to hell, you lose. I would just suppose that we feed them in Jesus' name. We go over there, and I get it, lights and all this kind of stuff. That's what we do to reach Americans. But if we go over to Africa, we're going to pop ourselves a water well, and we're going to name the church the well, and let's give them that water, but give it to them in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? It's not just doing good. It's doing good, leveraging that good for eternity. Because the Bible says that that fire is going to expose what is good. Y'all look pretty intense. We're starting a Christmas series next week. Kaya's going to be preaching next week. We're going to have a good time. Relax, relax. Y'all look so uptight. But oh, wow. Johnny on the spot. Boom, Kaya's face. We're all, oh, thank God. Felt it twice. What I'm trying to say is this, is that we want to live a life that the good stuff that we do matters, that we're leveraging those moments, the time that we have with God. Okay, there's some theology, there's some thoughts. Now I'm going to give you something practical to do with it. Write it down. First one is this. I will go through life looking up and not around. If you commit in your heart that I'm going to do it, Pastor Joe, I'm going to go through life looking up and not all around, it's going to help you to do things that have an eternal reward to them. Matters a lot. You can get so enamored with this world and what it has, but the reality is this world will let you down. If you become enamored with all this stuff, and listen, enjoy it, but oh man, I'm so excited about my vacation. Be excited about it, but don't forget you're living a Christian life, doing good, blessing people, loving, living generously. Because if you get enamored with the stuff, it's going to let you down. That's part of the reason, let me just say, by the Spirit of God, that some of you don't even enjoy Christmas. Because you build it up to be this massive, old, big, hairy, stinking thing. And then when you show up, you're actually probably one of the personalities that ruin it. You go in there, and it's all deflated from what you thought it was going to be. You built your own gap in between expectations. Anybody else receive? No? Well, judge the word. Amen. I'm serious. I'm serious. You're building up this world as something bigger than it really is. There's something beyond this world. And you'll discover before God that one day that this stuff, don't put so much stock into it. I would even say this to the person that's suffering. Because we're preaching a thrill of hope for a reason, because people largely don't have hope in the holiday season. It's supposed to be all ho, ho, ho. We're all supposed to be happy with eggnog. But the reality is, like, when you drink eggnog, you become kind of a jerk. And there's a lot of depression, there's a lot of drama that goes on in families. And to the person that's hurting in the room right now, I just tell you this, don't put your hope in this world. If you are downtrodden, if you're hurting in this place, God is for you. And some glad morning when this life is over, we're going to fly out of this thing, somebody, and there's going to be relief in Jesus' name. But you got to look up, not around. You can't compare yourself to other people. You can't try to find your validation from this world. It doesn't work. Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews 11. It says that Moses chose to be mistreated rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin for a short time. What was he doing? He was looking ahead towards his reward. He was looking up, not around. It's very profound. Number two, write it down. I will give up something now for something that I want later. Now, that's just good parenting. That's good leadership. If you're a coach, that's good coaching. Because, listen, if y'all want that six-pack, but you're currently carrying around a keg, you're going to have to do something about it. You have to give something up now. But it's a way better spiritual principle. Because if you can give up some things now and share a little now and love and smile on your brother, you know, like just live this thing out generously, what's going to happen is you're going to store yourself up an eternal reward for something that you really want later. That's one of the reasons why New Chapel, we're very frugal in how we do things. If you've ever come in during the week and you just see how we are, you've been around us anytime, I mean, you'll see I'm turning off lights in rooms and I'll go inside the bathrooms. And if, listen, guys, flush the urinal. Just flush that thing. Just flush it. And if they don't, I'll flush all the different things and I'll get the thing out and I'll clean it. Why? Because I'm even frugal with our HR account, right? Like, I want those people doing other things. And so we think, why? Because if I can save money here, I can use it to go reach other people. So we're very frugal. We're not cheap. We know how to spend money, but we're very frugal. And we need to live our life in such a way where we're weighing it out. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where they don't destroy, where they don't steal." Some of you guys you're in a row today and you're looking over and you're seeing somebody just lose their mind in worship and they're lifting their hands and you're like, why don't I love God like they love God? I'm going to tell you why. It's in verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's very telling of where your heart is, but it also shows me that you can actually direct your heart towards things. You can become a person that, hey, my heart is for whatever the Lord wants and your treasure is going to reflect that. You can direct your heart towards God's best. That's amazing. Come on, somebody. Number three, write it down. I will intentionally make a difference. Intentionally do it. Let me tell you why this is very, very important. You need to be intentional about making a difference, because living a life that's influential, living a life that makes a real difference in this world, it does not fall into your lap. Like, you can't live your life on autopilot and expect to, at the end, everybody celebrate how great and generous and good and you live this unforgettable. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to be very purposeful about your life or it's not going to work. Three ways you can do it, and then I want to pray for you. The first way is this. You need to be intentional about sharing your resources. Sharing your resources. This is to the person who, you know, you look at them and they don't have enough at the gas station, and you help them out. This is that family member that you know, and listen, they made bad decisions, they did it, they deserve their consequences. Believe me, I'm black and white all the way. However, I'm also Christian. Yeah, they made their bed and they lied on it, but you know, I have one relationship very close to me that this person just was addicted to drugs and they made mistakes and they did it. It was their fault. They deserved all of the consequences, and yet our family rallied around this person. And now they're one of the finest Christians that I know. Because part of this whole Christianity thing is not necessarily giving everybody what they deserve. Thank God I don't have what I deserve. You've got to share your resources. Share your resources. How do I do it, Pastor Joe? Become very purposeful with it and don't give spontaneously. You don't want to do that. Become a priority, percentage, and progressive giver. Don't wait to watch TV and that commercial comes on and it makes you cry and that's when you're going to be compassionate. That is actually not compassionate. They bent your arms. In fact, I have scripture that forbids me from doing it. Don't let people give grudgingly or necessity. What should you do? Be intentional about it. Think about it. That's why we're the whole louder than words offering. That's happening way down the road, folks. That's happening like, you know, the 16th, but we've been talking about it for a month. It's going to be your opportunity to do something with what God is telling you to do. I don't want you to feel like the pastor's leaning on you. I don't want to show you pictures and make you cry. I put the need in front of you, and we can only move at the speed of your generosity. I can't move any faster. I can get vision from God and put it in front of you, but I can't make it happen. I'm not God. And so we're going to decide what we're going to do, and we're going to take steps with it. That's what we're going to decide. We're going to be intentional. Next thing, be intentional and making a difference by intentionally sharing your time. What are you talking about? Join the team. Oh, Pastor Joe, they're all saved, sanctified, filled. No, they ain't. I'm Facebook friends with them. They ain't all saved. You know that? Well, they're saved, but like some Bible says in Jude, some are saved by fire. You know, like You don't have to be perfect to be on the team. If that frees you, good. Well, I'm still crazy. Well, you need a group of people around you that love you for who you are, and we can do with the crazy as we go. You know what I'm saying, somebody? Like, just jump into the family, serve, be intentional by sharing your time. And then finally, be intentional by sharing Christ. Next week, we start A Thrill of Hope. It's our Christmas series. On the 23rd is our big Christmas celebration. On the 16th, we're doing our miracle offering for Louder Than Words. On the week before that, we're having communion. Week before that, that's next week, we're having Kai. I mean, we've got a great progression for you guys. And you know me. You know that I'm never like, whoop, 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 invite people. I'm not that guy every week. It's just not who I am. But there are seasons, and I'm a pastor, and I know what they are. And this is one of those seasons where people are just apt to come to church. So share Christ by sharing your seat. Take the invites that they're going to give you as you leave today and give them to somebody. Love on somebody. Invest in somebody. Share your faith with them. They might be ready to pray at that moment. They might not. You might not be capable or ready to pray. Maybe you do damage if you did. You're not ready. Bring them here because I can do something you can't do. I'm going to say every single week, every head bowed and every head closed, and I'm going to do something very boldly. I don't embarrass anybody. See, there's things that we're supposed to do publicly, like baptism, but then there's things of the faith. It's in between people and the Lord. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to give them an opportunity. I'm going to tell you, your favorite day at New Chapel is when you're sitting next to somebody that you brought and you see a tear go down their face. And they raise their hand, I accepted Jesus. That's your favorite day at church, folks, because you intentionally shared Christ. Why say this, Pastor Joe? Why go through this whole series? I'm going to tell you why. You will miss the money that you put into bad investments. You're going to miss the money that you lose. You're going to miss all of the money that you give to your brother-in-law, all of it. You are going to miss. But write it down. I'll never miss what I invest in eternity. When you make an investment in somebody, not just for good, but for God, it has an eternal investment in them. And that's what this whole thing is about. Father, we pray right now that you would help us to live unforgettable lives. Lord, that we could live a life that honors you, that we could live a life that brings you glory. But in that, we could leverage all of the blessings that you've given us for good. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be intentional about loving on people. And Father, there's even faces that are coming to people's minds right now. And I just pray that they would wrestle those things down and bless people and invest in people and rate the card and stop by and make the phone call. And that, God, we would be those people that live so free that we could make a real difference in your world. And God, we pray that you'd help us to do it. Lord, if there's anybody in this room that they don't know you, they're struggling to make peace with the thought of God, help me to find them. In Jesus' name. Y'all look at me. You hear a message about an unforgettable life, and I will tell you that you jump into faith in Jesus, it will be unforgettable. But it's found when you make peace with God. The only way to make peace with God, by the way, is to accept his son, Jesus. See, God had only one son, and in his generosity, he gave his son for you. The Bible says that he hung on a cross. It was meant for sinners. He paid the price for your sin. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, Lord means boss. The Bible says that you'll have an eternity in heaven. You'll avoid a Christless hell. But eternal life doesn't start when you die in New Chapel. It can start today. The freedom that you're looking for, the peace with God that you desire, can start at the end of Amen. These aren't magic words. But if you pray them from your heart and mean them, the Bible says that he'll make all things new in your life. Would you bow your heads with me? Church, let's say this prayer out loud with those saying it for the first time. Say it with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean of all unrighteousness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making all things new. Make my life unforgettable. in Jesus' name. Can we give it up for those people that accepted Christ inside the house? A little bit louder than that. That was a big decision. Proud of you. Listen, if you did pray that for the first time, that same weekly that we've talked about, I want you to take that out, fill it out, and check the box that says, I accepted Christ today. See, the Lord's going to ask you to do big things in your faith. This is the least of which. He just wants you to fill out a card, but you can leave it on your seat or bring it to guest services. However you do it, you need to know what to do next. I always hate jumping into something like, okay, I'm in, now what? Well, we want to send you a letter talking about next steps that you can take in your faith. You want to know what to do next and how to do it. Again, I'm not going to embarrass you or call you down. What I want to do is send you that letter. You can leave it on your seat, be totally private. Or listen, there's going to be people that are going to be filling that out with prayer requests and people who are here for the very first time. Nobody's going to know your business. But be sure to fill that card out. I want you to know that there's a church in Grand Rapids that's praying for you. Can we give it up for those people that accepted Christ one more time? Very cool. Stand up on your feet, New Chapel. What an awesome day at church, amen? That was good. I enjoyed that myself. And I'm excited about Kaya next week. I'm excited about Kaya. That's going to be good. And new series, Real Hope, you don't want to miss it. Hey, I want to pray for you as we leave today and bless us before we go out to the holiday craziness and all the different holiday parties and shopping. I want to pray for us to have some peace. Is that cool? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go,
we hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.